How many of you feel better than when you got here today? I do. Amen. You know, I love that we're celebrating what God is famous for. And ultimately, and we'll look at it in the message in just a few moments, He's famous and we worship Him because He created and because He redeemed. You know what that means? It means He made it and He can fix it. So whatever your situation is, he can fix it if He needs to today. Amen. Hey, I love these people. Will you give them a thank you this morning? Great job, y'all. Great job. Let's lift our hands. Lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Connect your heart with that. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day, a day that you've made. And Lord, we acknowledge that today's the Lord's day. And we seek you and we honor you on the Lord's day. And Father, I thank you that as we gather together in your name, that you're here, you're in the midst of us today, and we welcome you and we honor you. And I just ask you, Lord, as creator and as redeemer, do what you are famous for, Lord. Today, I just pray that you'd touch every one of us, help us, blow away the confusion that might be in our life right now, bring peace and joy to our emotions, kind of reset us, restore our soul. I pray that you'd touch our bodies today. Bring healing, bring strength to us today. Those answers that we need, those questions we have, Lord, I just pray that things would dawn upon us, that you'd give us your wisdom, that you'd lead us and you'd help us. And I pray most of all that you draw every one of us. You know us, you know our situation, you know those that are so excited about you, and you know those that are wondering about you. I just pray that today you draw every one of us closer and closer to you today. We thank you for that. I pray that you would help me to deliver your word in the right way today. And once again, we pray that when everything is said and done, we want that you, Jesus, the Lord of our life, the head over all things to this church, may you be pleased. May you be honored. And may these your people, every single one of them, be helped today. That's our prayer. Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen and amen. How about a huge welcome for our online campus today? God bless you all. So glad you're with us. Peace to your house. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So glad you're all here today. Everybody say regroup. Regroup is something that the Lord put on my heart, and I believe that's the kind of the word that says it well for us, that you know, it's been crazy days, crazy world. How many nod your head if you recognize that? Crazy days and crazy world. And I just really feel direct leading of the Lord that we kind of regroup. And that means a whole lot of different things. And it's to garner and gather all that we are, get that together. And so we're in a season of doing that, which means one of the main things it means for you is next week we're going to have new service time. So we'll put up that slide, if you will, next week, starting March 7th. Everybody say next week. So next week, you're going to come either at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock, okay? Or that'll be your services. Come before then because we want you on time, all right? And what this is doing, most of all, and let me say this in the right way here. I think we do a good job at what we do. We really put our best in what we do, but we need more than just what we do. We need space and time for God to do what He does. And so we're giving time, making room for some ministry moments, for the presence of God. And so we have a format that will be starting next week, and it'll take a little more time. Each service is about 4 hours. No, it's not. That way you'll feel relieved when I tell you it's only about an hour and 15 plus, maybe. And we'll see how that goes each week. And that gives us plenty of turnaround time and so forth. And so come expecting. I want to teach you some things today that will directly impact what we're going to be doing. But we're so glad you're all here in the house. I'm so glad that COVID numbers are going down. I've talked to numerous people today. They got their shots and they feel comfortable to come out. And so glad we continue to pray for that. If you're watching at home, now listen to me. Come when you're comfortable. If you're more comfortable and safe to stay at home, we completely support that. But do not let the screen just be something else on in the house. Lean in today so that you can get everything that you can out of that time. We're going to give you our very best too. And then here in the house, we are here, okay? We're here, and let's make this time count. Well, we're in a series called Your Attention, Please. And essentially, we're giving our attention to the fact that we're in some complex days and some critical days. And by critical, I mean this: it matters what we do. It matters what we do. You know, sometimes you have those days that don't really matter, and then you look at the calendar and you realize, oh, I have a research paper due tomorrow, okay? And now it gets really critical. Well, we're in those kind of days that it matters what we do, how we do it, why we do it. And more than ever in our world, people need to see somebody live the genuine Christian life. Not weirdo religion, not hypocrisy, not on one day, up one day, down the next day. People need to see Jesus for real in our lives and what it truly means to follow God. Can I get an amen from anybody? One of the worst tricks the enemy has played is religion and church, because then we just, you know, lifeless and so forth. And God has better. He has better for us. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about worship. I want to talk about worship. Go ahead and everybody say it. Worship. Actually, we get our word worship from the old English word that is worth-ship. So it's to ascribe or to give worth, to declare worth. And God is worthy. All of this ties together. He's worthy. He is worth us giving him worship. And what we're going to do, and as your pastor, I'm calling Meadowbrook Church to shift our gears regarding worship. And in our new format, and we've done this for years, we've identified this for years, that what we're doing every service is just two things, okay? Two things. Anybody remember what they are? We're going to lift up, and we're going to listen up, okay? We lift up, and we listen up. Try it with me. We lift up, and we listen up, and then we go out there, and we endeavor to live it out, okay? And you get all that works together. Well, what we want to do as we lift up is follow a scriptural, biblical progression of praise and worship. You see the example in the Old Testament of the tabernacle, and within the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where the presence of God was. That was in the inner court. And there was a progression to come from the outer court and to make your way to the inner court. And what we want to do is, you know, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise and go all the way as far as we can in worship and experience the presence of God. And I want to talk about that today and how we'll kind of flow with that. Let's begin in Revelation chapter 4. And it says, you are worthy. Come on, everybody, just say it. You are worthy. And this is said to the Lord. You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you what? You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So he's worthy. Now let's go ahead to Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So we see in heaven, he is declared worthy to receive all glory, all honor, all power, all attention. And two reasons it points out that I pointed out earlier. First of all, because he created. And second of all, because he redeemed. He's the creator. He's the redeemer. No one else is. No one else could do that. And so he is worthy. He is worthy of our worship. Amen? Now, St. Augustine, not the city, but the guy, said this: our hearts are restless until they have found the object of worship that we were created to honor. Our hearts are restless until they have found the object of worship that we were created to honor. How many of you, sometimes your heart is restless? Come on, be honest, come on. Don't hide from me. Sometimes our heart is restless. It is. I don't like that. I don't like when I'm restless on the inside. And we try to soothe that a lot of ways. Sometimes we say this: if I could just get a good snack, You know, so we think that's what will fix that restlessness. Or if I could get a nap, or if I could do this or go there or whatever else, or we just don't know. And we experiment and we reach out and we're just trying to settle that. And at the very bottom of it all, money's not going to soothe it. People aren't going to soothe it. Food's not going to soothe it. You're created in such a way that your heart is going to be restless until you find the object that you're designed to honor and worship. And that's until you find that connection and worship with a holy, holy God. Otherwise, we end up empty. Otherwise, we end up disoriented and restless. Add to that the world and the culture that we live in today. How many of you know our culture has lost its center? It's lost its center. And we've got efforts and groups and leaders proposing wicked things, proposing ridiculous things, calling good evil and evil good. We're really living in a mixed up world. It's dark. It's dangerous. It's confused. And it's a post-Christian world. Some people say, don't ever say that again, Pastor. I had a lady tell me that. And I said, no, I have to call it what it is. We're no longer at the center of the classroom. We're no longer at the center of the marketplace. We're no longer at the center of the courtroom. We're not at the center, but we're here. We're here. And listen how God will use in dark and dangerous, crazy days. Here's what will happen. This is a land, Psalm 63:1 says, this is a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So all the things that I already described to you and all the things that people are trying to fill their life with, guess what? They won't satisfy that hunger. It won't satisfy that thirst. Watch this. This is the design of God. It will actually create spiritual emptiness. It creates and develops spiritual hunger and thirst. And guess what? God can, God is, and God will use that spiritual emptiness and that spiritual hunger because people are hungry and thirsty for something that will put their heart back at rest. We can't continue to carry the weight of our sins and the confusion and weight of the world and have no relief and have no help. And there are a whole lot of voices and a lot of different products and ideologies and everything else. Just do this, just think this, just say this, just go there, just look like this, and it will fill. And I promise you, it will not. Dry and thirsty land, no water. There's nothing out there that will quench that. And God is going to use that to draw people to himself. Amen. So forget about the world for a moment. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? And let's just talk about you. Until you, say that's me, until you become a worshiper of the only one that's worthy of worship, the one who created you, who formed you, who called you into being, until we connect with him in worship, listen, you're never going to experience spiritual depth or the spiritual vitality that you're designed to live in. Now, that was a lot of words, and I want to say that to you again, okay? So get a hold of this. Until you, go ahead and say that's me. Until you become a worshiper of the only one that's worthy of worship. Until you start to worship the one who created you, who formed you, who called you into being, who redeemed you, until you worship him, you're never going to experience the spiritual depth and the spiritual life and vitality that you were actually designed to live. And so we need to find out about worship because worship orders our life. Worship reorders our life. When we worship God, guess what? We're able to now separate, get this, we're able to separate the eternal from the temporal. Now, everything down here that's bugging you, it's temporal. Everything. What does the news do? They keep stirring all the temporal. Oh, let's throw in here's another new thing. Oh, another new thing. And the news cycle keeps going, and everybody is glued to that. and it's binging and dinging in your pocket and in your purse, and you got to go out and check it, and it's on the radio, and it's on the TV, it's everywhere, and it's in front of us all the time, the temporal, and it disturbs us, and it keeps changing, and we're going, what's going on? And I'm telling you, there's a holy reset that comes to your soul when you can connect with the eternal and realize how temporary, how temporal all of this is down here. Everything about our life is horizontal. Everything. Worship takes us vertical. Worship, we connect with what transcends, and that is our holy God and his love and his plan for our lives. Nothing else goes vertical. And without worship, our lives are empty, our lives are disoriented. And without worship, real worship, y'all with me? Without worship, our religion is empty and lifeless. Watch this though. Worship helps us to encounter and experience God. Read it with me, would you? Worship helps us to encounter and experience God. Now be honest with me, be real with me this morning. How many of you would like to experience God? Okay? I said it earlier, the dirtiest trick of the enemy is religion. Because we've experienced worship in a certain way, and church in a way, and God in a way. And, you know, when I was growing up, everybody that went to church all the time were really grumpy. Or really old. And then I changed churches, and everybody that followed God was really weird. So I got to a certain place and said, I'll go do something else. Until I ran into some people in my life who genuinely knew God and lived for him, and there was a joy, and there was a peace, and there was a confidence, and they made it through all kinds of stuff. They just made it through, and you knew that God was with them, and they loved people. They actually were nice, and they weren't weird. These are goals, y'all. To follow God and to actually be nice and not be weird. Amen. Worship helps us to encounter God and to experience God. And so again, I want to find out more about worship and what this does. Remember, I said without worship, without real worship, our religion is empty and lifeless, but this moves it to a place of relationship with God. You should be a worshiper. Actually, let me break it to you. You are a worshiper. You are designed by God to worship. You know how to worship. And you know what else? You worship. And if you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something. You worship stuff, worship people, worship ideas, worship things. We're just designed that way. And what we've got to do is reset that. And we've got to move that back over and put our worship over on the Lord. Now, when we come together as Meadowbrook Church, when we come together, look at me, we're going to worship. We're going to lift up the Lord, and we're going to worship. And I want to talk to you about that this morning and kind of what all that entails. Look with me in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Jesus is talking. He says, "For where two or three are gathered," well, we beat that. "Where two or three are gathered together in my name," come on, everybody. "I am there. I'm there in the midst of them." Now, I point this out sometimes. That doesn't mean that we have a reserved seat for Jesus. Doesn't mean that he's only sitting with certain folks, these folks here, or those folks there. He's in the midst. He is close to every one of us when we gather together in his name. He is divinely present. You're not going to see Jesus. There's not going to be a hologram or something. Where is he? I think I saw him in the fog. No, you didn't. Okay, but he is divinely present with us. It is his presence. And when we gather to worship, he is present. Amen. And he's here. His presence will be here, not just so he can listen to us worship, not just so he can receive our worship, but listen, he is here for an encounter. He is here for an experience in our lives. So let me move to this. Worship is to be expressed. Worship is to be expressed. We are expressive with worship. Now, imagine my wife, Alicia. We've been married 36, almost 37 years. What if I just stopped expressing my feelings toward her? What if I just, you know, and it's the old joke, you know, well, I told her 36 years ago I loved her. Let her know if that changes. No, it's kind of good to keep saying it. Yes. It's kind of good to say thank you, yes. To express yourself. Hey, I appreciate that. I love you. Sometimes in the busyness of our life, I'll just hold her by the shoulders and I'll say, look at me, babe. You are my person. You know, sometimes you just have to do that. And so I have a grandson. I have four grandbabies. I have a grandson named Milo. He's about to turn 3. And I don't know what it is, but he loves Tyrannosaurus Rexes, okay? So he has forced his parents. He said, because they say, Milo, your birthday's coming up. He goes, uh-huh, and I'm going to have a T-Rex party. So he's going to have a T-Rex party. But what if I show up for his party? What if I just show up and I was like, eh. And I don't sing and I don't smile and I don't do anything. You know, what does that say to him? It says something about my worth, what he's worth to me. But you know what I have done? I went online and I ordered an inflatable T-Rex costume. I did. I've had 2 practice sessions. Alicia just rolls her eyes, shakes her head. After the party, there will be video for you, all right? All right. But hey, express it. Express worship. Our love, our feelings are to be expressed. And when we worship, it moves our spiritual life. Moves our spiritual life from stuck and lifeless to vibrant and alive. Because worship is to God. Get this. It's to God. It's for God. But you can never, ever walk away from real worship that you haven't gained some spiritual energy and joy and encouragement. When you worship God, it's to Him, it's for Him, but I'm telling you what, you're going to come away having gained from that time in His presence. Let me put it to you this way. When you worship God, something happens. Amen? Go with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, Jesus is speaking. He said, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. Go ahead. For God is spirit, so those who worship Him, come on, must worship in spirit and in truth. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to talk about those, but first let's talk about this one. Worship in truth. Worship in truth. Worship, first of all, we worship the only one truly worthy of worship. So to start out, we worship the right one. We worship God. Not stuff, not money, not cars, not stars, not celebrities, not ideas, but we worship Him. When we worship things and people and stuff, that's not the worship we were designed to worship. And it never does anything positive for us. So we worship the one true God as revealed in Scripture. Okay? This is important. Worship the one true God revealed in Scripture. Last week we spent time on the importance of the Word in our lives, that we must give attention to His Word. And we're going to find God. We'll find God in nature. We're going to find God in people. We're going to find God move in situations. But you have to know the God of the Bible. This is going to fully describe God for you. And you worship the one true God revealed in Scripture. Also, if we're going to worship in truth, it is a conscious, intelligent, theological approach. It's not just a whimsical, emotional, experiential kind of event. Some people have equated real worship with just losing their minds and going nuts. And that's not what this is talking about at all. It must be in truth, which means it is conscious. You use your intellect. You are aware of theology. You know, there have been a few rare occasions over the years of the church where I've pulled a song. I've told the worship team, don't sing that, because those words aren't accurate with Scripture. And so it's important that we guard that as well. Yeah, but it's beautiful. Well, beautiful, that's like eating something poisonous that tastes good, okay? And so we have to be careful with that. We have to think. And actually, you are thinking as you worship. You are thinking as you worship. I've noticed just over the last few weeks, we'll be singing a song, and it'll start to talk about Jesus, his resurrection, or him coming back again. And because you're singing and worshiping and you're thinking, it resonates with you, and people start to spontaneously just, you know, applaud the excitement of the resurrection or Jesus coming back again. And it's because you're actually thinking when you worship. Amen. Now, we worship in truth, but we also worship in spirit. Come on, say it. Worship in spirit. Now get this principle. You worship in spirit, you worship in truth. Watch me, get this. When you worship in spirit, it's from your heart. It's heartfelt. Your heart is in it. But get this, here's the principle. The heart cannot be in what the mind is not on. Do you hear it? If you do anything heartfelt, it's not just that you say it. Your mind is on it, and your heart can be in it. So we worship in truth. Our mind is on it, and now we can worship in spirit. Have you ever said something before and your heart just wasn't in it? Okay, yeah, I love you. Yeah, it's great. Have a great day. But your mind was on something else. Your mind was on something else. You get your mind on it, worship in truth. You get your heart in it, you worship in spirit. It's from the heart, it's sincere, it's genuine, it's real, it's engaged. It's not just who you're worshiping, it's how you worship. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Jesus quoting from the prophet Isaiah. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is, come on, is far from me, and in vain they worship me. I heard this old story about this angel takes a guy to church. And they get in church and they're just watching. And the man with the angel, and he's just watching. And this church had an organ, and he's watching, and the organist is playing, and her fingers are going all over the keys and everything, but he can't hear any music coming out of the pipes. Then the choir stands, and it's a full choir, and they're singing, and they got their robes and their hymnals, and they're singing, and all their mouths are moving, and he can't hear a thing. And then the pastor has everybody stand, and they recite the Lord's Prayer, and everybody in the place, their mouth is moving, and the guy, he turns to the angel, I can't hear anything. The pastor sits them down, said, turn in your Bibles. He can tell that's what's going on, and everybody's turning pages. He can't even hear the rustle of the pages. And then the pastor's up there preaching and pointing. You know how pastors do. Doing all of that. And then he turns to the angel, and he said, I can't hear anything. And the angel said, that's because there's nothing to be heard. This is what God hears, because they're worshiping with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And here's the point. Worship without the heart is not worship. Worship without the heart is not worship. And so what we have to do is worship God in spirit, and we have to worship God in truth. Now, a couple things real quick. Worship in music. Worship with music. There are a lot of ways to worship the Lord. How many of you know that? Y'all here? There are a lot of ways to worship the Lord, but the best group activity is music. Yeah, you know, I can't say, okay, we're going to worship the Lord. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, worship the Lord. Because some of y'all might think, I want to offer a burnt offering and you're going to light up one of our chairs or something, you know? or whatever. And so, you know, worship is to edify the church too. Worship is to be decently and in order also. And so worship with music, it's the best group activity. Psalm 100 verse 2 says this, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. The Message paraphrase says, sing yourselves into his presence. Over 41 psalms tell us to sing. 90 psalms mention music. All of the psalms, all 150 of them, were used as the songbook for the nation of Israel as they sought God. And so music is a vehicle. Music is a vehicle. It moves us. It helps us to express ourselves. And when we're singing songs, it's not just singing songs. Hear me. Take the words and make them your words. Take the words and make them your words. This morning, as I entered into worship, we began to sing, greater than the mountain that's in front of me. You are greater. Come on. So much greater. Now, guess what? I didn't write that. I didn't make that up. But it was true, and it resonated with my spirit, and I took the words of the song, and I made them my words, and I was able to offer that up to God, and I know it honored God, and you know what? It gave some energy and vitality on the inside of me. Amen. And so we use it in that way. Worship with music. Worship with your body. Now, that didn't mean shake your booty or nothing, all right? Are y'all with me? I don't know if you can say that in church, but I just did. Worship with your body. Worship is very active. Your hands, that you would lift your hands, that you would clap your hands, that you would kneel, that you would bow, that you would dance. I mean, there's so many ways that we use our bodies. You know, Super Bowl was just a few weeks ago, and you know, I don't know if you cared or not. My wife did not care. I did enjoy it. But when your team scores, you don't just like, when your team scores, or you're not just checking your phone, your buddy said, we just scored. Huh? Scored? Praise the Lord. And when you realize all that God has done for you, when you start to resonate and connect with what he's done and that he's worthy, I mean, you worship with you. I mean, come on. Let me throw this in real quick too. Live a worshipful life. So when you're out of here, worship God. Worship God. You should have music on all day long. Some of y'all got way too much talk radio and way too much, I don't know what it is. And you need to have worship going on. And again, take the words of that, make them your words, and worship the Lord. But more importantly is this, whatever you do, what do you do? What do you do? Do it in a worshipful way. Do it in a way that's going to honor God. If you're a massage therapist or a fireman or you're a surgeon or you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a farmer or whatever that you would be, a teacher, a student, whatever, live your life, do what you do. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And then one last thing today, your approach shows honor. Your approach shows honor. So I'm going to go ahead and probably hurt some of your feelings. We'll be out of here in a few minutes anyway. It don't matter. Your approach shows honor. Stop being late. What if for Milo's birthday party, I'm 45 minutes late. They already ate the cake. They're digging it out of his ears. I mean, And I got my T-Rex suit, but it's in the trunk. I'll be back in a minute. You know, let there be a little bit of preparation. This is the Lord's Day. I'm going to go honor God today. And so some people show up, they sling their babies into the nursery, come in late, out of breath, wigs crooked. Hey, wind it all back 10 or 15 minutes and say, God, we're going to get this together. And because this is the second point of this, don't be a distraction. And if you're coming all in late, you're going to distract other people, and then you're never going to get anything for you. And worship is to God and it's for God. And so we never draw attention to ourselves. We'll be exuberant. We're going to give God high energy praise and deep heartfelt worship. But don't ever be a distraction. Make sure that we give that all to God. And we enter with thanksgiving. The Message paraphrase says, enter with the password, thank you. And every time, everybody say every time. Every time we come, because we're going to worship y'all. When we come, sing. Well, I don't say, no. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If he's done anything for you. Get this too. Two of the Old Testament Hebrew words for praise actually include in their meaning. You ready for this? Brighten up. Brighten up. The Lord is worthy of that.
Say, well, I had a really crummy week and I've had all this good.
Brighten up. What if I show up to Milo's party and I had a rough day? It doesn't matter. If I'm going to honor that little guy, Peepaw is going to be the happiest guy at the party. Are y'all with me? And the one who can help you, the one that can lift you up, go ahead to honor him in an expectation of what he'll do and brighten up. Brighten up and bring yourself, get yourself here, lift your hands, lift your voice, lift your God, and you'll get lifted up as well. Bottom line, and I'll finish up with this. The bottom line, if you're a worshiper or you're not a worshiper, has everything to do with your view of God. Is he worthy of worship? And really, to boil that down, it comes to this. Is your God a great big God? Or is he a little tiny puny God? If he's a little tiny puny God, it don't matter. But if he's a great big awesome God, you know, can you imagine you're walking along, all of a sudden some people rush past you and they'll go, come on, come on. There's a celebration, there's a parade. And we'll say, what's it for? And I say, it's this guy, he turned in a book at the library on time. But what if they come running past you? Come on, there's a celebration, there's a parade. And you go, what's it for? And they go, this guy rescued a whole busload of children right out of the fire. And one of them was your grandson. Man, I'm rushing. I'm going to get there. I want to see him. I want to thank him. And God's done that for us. He's rescued you. He helps you. Even on the days you're not thinking about him, he's helping you. He's caring for you. He's working on your behalf. He's protecting, he's providing. And then when you seek him, he lets you find him. I'm telling you what, he is worthy of all praise and all honor. And listen to me, Meadowbrook Church, wait, listen. Meadowbrook Church, when we come together, we're going to worship, we're going to lift him up, and we're going to listen up, and we're going to allow some time and space for God's presence. We're going to allow some time and space for some ministry moments to connect our hearts with his heart. And I tell you what, I just have incredible expectation of what God is about to do more than ever before. Amen. In our services here at Meadowbrook Church. Amen. Did you get anything at all out of this today?